Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And I promise you something, Mishpucha, by the time you hear Vera Hughes' story, you will be red hot for the Messiah. Vera was raised in a Christian home. She got saved every week, but didn't really believe, saw the hypocrisy, turned off from church. Money is her God with a small G, very successful, meets the love of her life, marries, has her first child, then ready, pregnant with the second child. She goes to give birth, and after she has the baby, she starts hemorrhaging. Pick it up from there, Vera.
Yes. After I was hemorrhaging, the doctors came and they told my husband, we have to quickly take her to surgery. So I'm going to call that surgery number one. And all of a sudden, I remember telling my husband, oh, the doctors will take care of me. Don't worry about it, honey. My husband was kind of concerned. And, you know, by then my family hadn't gotten there yet. But he actually told me he was scared because he knew something was wrong and I may not make it. But I told him, calm down. Just remember, because I have the greatest doctor. And, you know, the Bible says that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But my confidence was completely in man. I've never even through that experience said, I never even thought about God. He never crossed my mind. I said, I got the greatest doctor. He's going to take care of me. But then a really faint thing in my heart, I felt like life was leaving me. I knew I was in trouble, but I said, oh, my doctor's going to take care of me. I'll be back. Don't worry about it. And then I was just saying, okay, I woke up from the surgery. And you know what? Everything seems fine again. So I'm ready to go home again with this baby. Not even 2 days later, guess what happened, Sid? I started hemorrhaging again.
So what'd the doctor say?
The doctor said, well, we're not sure what's going on because we had to go in there and clean out some things in her body that we thought were maybe left over or maybe something was left in her. But they didn't find anything. They had no reason why we just kept hemorrhaging. So again, I go back into the surgery. And then I found that it scared me. At that point, I said, okay, I think I'm going to die this time. So here I am with a new baby, the perfect family, the perfect husband, I was so charismatic. I had people drawing around me. I knew I was going to be a politician, and here I am dying. And I just remember being scared. But again, I didn't call on God. I knew I had my doctor. I had the love of my family, and I knew all was going to be well. But at that point, something in me said, Vera, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. So again, I went to surgery number two. I came out, when I came out of that second surgery, they were kind of concerned, so they put me in intensive care unit because they weren't sure what was going on. When they went in the second time, Sid, they found absolutely nothing. They said, what is going on? But they were able to, I guess, stitch some things up in my body, and it stopped. So again, I was put in the hospital bed. I woke up a couple of days later, and again, I started hemorrhaging for no valid reason. Surgery number three. They take me back in several days later. And I remember they said, this time even the doctors got scared. They were like, what is going on? I was 26 years old, Sid. No valid reason why I was dying, why this lady was losing blood. And it was just gushing on me like a river. And they said, what is happening? Again, they went in, Sid, and all of a sudden, they found nothing. But one thing did surprise them. The sutures they had put in were gone. They were absolutely gone, like they were never put in there. And again, the doctors were kind of frightened. And I remember that they were telling me afterwards that one of the doctors I had trust in said he walked out of the operating room not knowing what to do. He was so frustrated. So that's why we can't depend on men. You know what? Men may leave you, but Sid, at that point, God did not leave me. At that time, what he did was my sisters, we had all been raised in the church. And they remember prayer. They were in the same church I was in. They used to sleep during the service the same way I did. We used to take our money, instead of putting it in church, we take it and go across the street because we had a lady sit who would sell candy right after church, outside, you know, outside the church. So we take our tithe money and go and buy candy. But they sat there. But I'm going to tell you something about youth. Get them in church. Keep them in church because you're not thinking, they're not hearing the word. Even though we were asleep, our spirits were receiving the word. And my sisters remember there is a God. So they got prayer groups to start praying. They called all around the country, and they remembered that prayer works.
How critical were you? The doctors actually gave up hope, didn't they?
They actually gave up hope because they were like, well, we have no valid reason. Why she's hemorrhaging? We go in there, we suture her up. All of a sudden, they disappear. They thought they had an instrument, you know, left in me, or they botched something. They were scared. My sisters, they said prayer. We're going to start calling all kind of prayer people. And then they just remember God's going to heal her. One of my sisters said, I know God's going to heal her. I don't know why. It wasn't that she had a great relationship with him, but the Lord has started speaking to my family. And actually, they got mad at the doctors. They fired him, and they said, we're going to move her to a new hospital. But because my husband knew that I had a lot of faith in my doctor, see, I didn't know he had walked out the room. It was a good thing I didn't, okay? But I held on, and I believed that I was going to be okay, even in that state.
You had a stroke. You were paralyzed. Your kidneys began to fail. And you were preparing for death.
Yes, because I had a fourth surgery, again, several days later, another week, a fifth surgery. Another week of sixth surgery. And during that time, you're absolutely right. They put a pacemaker in me because my heart stopped beating. They put a respirator on me because I couldn't breathe properly. I had a stroke. One day my husband came in the room. I was a very small person, and I looked like I had blown up three times the size of my body. He remembers seeing the eyes bulging out of my head. He said I didn't even look human. Then I had a stroke where my mouth was twisted, and they said she had a stroke. They didn't even tell him I had a stroke. He knew I had a stroke, and they absolutely agreed with him. And through all that time still, you know, my sister said, you know, they started calling those prayer groups and getting people in prayer, and they started saying she's going to be okay. But my husband did not believe it. He said the last surgery, number six, the doctor said 50-50 chance, and what they were saying is she's going to die.
But one of your sisters heard an audible voice.
Yes. She was in a, during that time, she went to a prayer meeting. And the pastor who was really ministering, you know, she told him what was going on, and he prayed for her. And she didn't really believe in, you know, we were in the same situation. You know, we didn't really believe God. She was very successful also, and she didn't attend church. But she went believing that something's going to have to change for her sister. So she got to the altar, the pastor prayed for her. And as she felt the Holy Spirit come upon her, and she heard this voice said, Vera, it's going to be all right. And she knew it wasn't a pastor speaking. She knew she had heard from heaven.
Yeah, that's all fine and good, but you died.
But I died anyway.
But what I'm interested in is that experience you had after you died.
Yes, I remember, and you know, people always say that, you know, probably, you know, I heard people say that you're dreaming when this happens, and there's no such thing as walking out of your body. But Sid, I absolutely did. It was around after my sixth surgery. I remember they said it was toward the evening. I died. I saw them say, she's dead. I heard them say, because I was out of my body. I was in my hospital gown, and I could see myself. Because, Sid, I remember waking up one time. The pain was so unbearable. I said, I'd rather be dead. I remember myself saying, I'd rather be dead to be in pain like that. It was an excruciating pain. And then I saw myself just get up off that hospital bed, and I was in my hospital gown, and I saw myself crying. I said, I have to find rest. And then I saw myself walking down this dark road. And I was saying, oh, I have to get some rest. And I kept walking. And I was walking through the most darkest, black that you ever seen. It was like the darkness was so dark you could take a knife and cut it. And I remember saying, I have to find rest. So I remember, and it seemed like I was kept walking and walking and walking. And then ahead of me, I could see gates. I saw these beautiful gold gates. So I said, this must be heaven. And I was happy to see those gates. And I got closer to the gates. Even though it was the blackness around me, all I saw was the gold gates. They were shimmering. They were like calling me toward the gates. And I said, I have to go get rest. I'm going to heaven. And I got closer and closer and closer. And then I noticed that there was someone standing by these beautiful gold gates. And when I saw it, it was someone like what I call a gatekeeper. It was this person standing there, and they had this hood over their face so I couldn't see their face. And I remember saying, let me in the gates. I got to go get rest. And this gatekeeper, he never moved. If you've ever been to Buckingham Palace, you know how the guards are?
Yes.
Do whatever you want to them, they will not move.
Right.
And that's what the gatekeeper did. And so I remember saying, let me in, open the gates. I have to get some rest. I'm in so much pain. I can't go back. I have to get rest. And when I looked behind the gates, I noticed, said it was, a massive amount of people. And when I saw them in the gates, I just saw the gold gates and I could see behind the gates. And I saw these people waving at me. And it was very interesting when I saw them because I noticed that they were all like, you know, waving, go back, go back. And I was like, now what kind of reception is this for me going to heaven? Now you see that I'm sick, you see that I'm crying, and I'm yelling that I'm hurting and I need rest, and you're not going to give me the reception that I want. They were just waving, go back, go back.
Oh, we're out of time, Mishpucha. She wasn't on her way to heaven. She was on her way to hell. So many people are in churches that are nothing more than holding tanks for hell. When you find out what happened to her, you've got to read her book, From the Gates of Hell to the Gates of Glory by Vera Hughes. When you finish this book, you will be assured of your salvation, and God will become so real to you. We're making it available for a donation of $17. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.